This is the Australia Report with Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
I love your intro, Vic.
I do as well, actually. It makes me... It feels like I'm about to come on stage at the Oscars or something.
It's quite dramatic, but it's really good, and I do like the Maypole. I'm actually watching the latest of Australia Survivor. It's the third in a row that we've had. I think they're up to series 8. Last time, which ended only a couple of weeks ago, was the Survivor Superstars. This is now Survivor Brains versus Brawn. Let me tell you something.
Yes.
Your Survivor, I don't know where you find these people, but they are superhuman. The Australian Survivor make the rest of the world's Survivor episodes look like a walkie park. They don't have one challenge. Within one challenge is like 5 challenges. Oy. But moving on to the more important stuff, Vic, tell us a little bit more about the state government adopting the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism.
Well, this is very good news. So we've reported before on this program that in October, the Australian government itself formally adopted the definition of anti-Semitism, which has now been recognized and accepted by around approximately 35 different countries. And just a couple of days ago, the New South Wales government, which is the state government where Sydney is located, formally adopted the recognition, the definition as well. And so it's important because it kind of continues to add momentum to the need for there to be global understanding of what does constitute anti-Semitism. And so it's, and I have to say that there's a new premier in New South Wales. The former premier stepped down in October, and there's a new premier. So it's literally one of the very first orders of business which he has taken on in coming to office. So it's important in terms of, you know, adding to the momentum, the global momentum of acceptance of this definition of what constitutes anti-Semitism.
If one looks at Australia from a general perspective, is it a very accepting type community from a societal perspective?
I can say without fear of contradiction that Australia is one of the most successful multicultural nations in the world. So we have in this country approximately 200 different communities, as in Vietnamese and Chinese and Pakistani and Indonesian, you know, from all over the world. And overwhelmingly, there's phenomenal acceptance of difference. And so much so that in full declaration here, I'm a board member of the network, the media network called SBS, which stands for Special Broadcasting Services. And that is like the ABC or SABC, except that it's a multicultural broadcaster. And I was newly appointed to the board of that organization. But that SBS radio broadcasts in 68 different languages. Now, second in the world is the Vatican, which has 28 languages on its radio station. And then in addition to having half a dozen television channels, etc. So that's right there. And it's a publicly funded broadcaster as well as advertising. But the fact that we broadcast in 68 languages speaks for itself. Nowhere else in the world comes even close to that. So to answer your question, it's one of the most successful multicultural nations in the world. Of course, we have extremists on the left and on the right, and bigots, and sadly no country is exempt from that. But overwhelmingly, it's an exceptionally accepting country.
Well, it's incredible to hear what an amazing melting pot it is, but also congratulations on that appointment. And sticking with the topic, the Jewish and Hindu communities recently came together.
That's right. Now, and all listeners will be very, very well aware that we recently had Hanukkah. People may be less aware that also just a few days ago was Deepavali, or also known as Diwali, which is a Hindu celebration. And so the Jewish community and the Hindu community had a joint Hanukkah Diwali celebration here in Sydney. And I have to say that comes on the back of a very strong symbiotic relationship between the Hindu and Jewish communities. And what is not widely known, and this was news to me when I came upon this a couple of years ago, was that during World War I, 900 Indian cavalrymen lost their lives in defense of the city of Haifa, 900, and so are buried in Haifa. And so every year, the Indian community, certainly here in Sydney, has a commemoration to honor those 900 Indian cavalrymen. And so for the last 4 or 5 years now, the Jewish community, together with the Indian community, commemorates those 900 Indian men who died in defense of Haifa in World War One as part of Allied forces. So there's a strong relationship between the Jewish and Hindu communities, and as evidenced just by, as I said last week, a joint Hanukkah and Diwali celebration.
That's an incredible story. It's something I never knew. As much as I appreciate learning something new every day, it's a tragic story hearing about 900 people losing their lives. And it's more tragic that we don't hear more about the sacrifices made by others in the support and defense of minorities. An incredible story, that. Absolutely amazing, and something I'm going to be looking into. Another incredible story was the state funeral service that was held for a Holocaust survivor.
Indeed. His name was Eddie Jaker, and we've spoken about him on this program a number of times. Eddie died just 2 months ago at the age of 101, and he wrote a book which has been translated into 27 languages called The Happiest Man on Earth. And Eddie was an inspiration. There was a state funeral service for him, addressed by the Premier, the same Premier I just mentioned a few moments ago, about the definition of anti-Semitism, and the Premier addressed the state funeral service at Eddie Jaker's two sons, and the President of the Board of Deputies and the Chief Rabbi, etc. And the Premier said in his eulogy, there are not many people one comes across who one can genuinely describe as inspirational, and Eddie was. And even at the age of 99 and 100, Eddie was speaking to students in the Sydney Jewish Museum about, he did a TED talk at the age of 96 about his experiences. When he was 99, he renewed his driver's license, and they said to him, do you want to renew it for 1 year or three? And he said, I'll take the three. And that was his wonderfully positive attitude to life and his wonderfully positive message. And so very fitting that the state honored him with a state memorial.
Well, I just think it's amazing the news coming out of Australia. It's all so very positive in days that are otherwise so very, very gloomy. And it was an absolute pleasure chatting to you this morning. You've cheered us all up. I look forward to chatting to you again next week, because these are the stories that make a difference. And these are such important community orientated stories. And it does show you that people can live together in peace, in harmony. Yes, like you mentioned, there are these far left and far right elements, but they're everywhere. The majority of your people, after telling me that you broadcast in 68 languages and that the Vatican falls short at second at only 28 languages, it just shows the diversity and the acceptance of the community in which you live.
Indeed it does, and you summed it up very well, Richard. I absolutely endorse what you just said. So thank you. It was a pleasure chatting to you today, and let's hope that everyone stays safe and healthy.
Vic, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to our next conversation, and we'll be chatting soon.
Thanks, Richard.